and the money's going to a good cause. Well, Raj and Colleen Kumar, most of you know, are a part of this body. They have been a part for a long time. And I think it's tomorrow. They are going back to India with three children, traveling through airports with three children. And today, before they left, they wanted to dedicate their newest child. Let me move out of the way. Hannah Joy Momady. Can you see Hannah Joy? Isn't she sweet there? They wanted to dedicate her before they head off. And, you know, they have a real ministry handful that God's given them. They have to raise their own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then they have 19 currently other children that are with them in their home that they're taking care of. They're about to move into a new facility, a new building that will give them the ability to house how many more? 100. 100 children. And so all of you out there that think you're ready to pull your hair out with your kids, just think again, okay? There is somebody that has a few more than you do. But we are so happy and excited, and really the way Hannah Joy was born is a miracle from God. Colleen had C-sections with her first two children, and she really believed God to let her have a natural birth this time, and God did. He gave her a natural birth, which is really a very rare thing today, and so we're so thankful for all that God is doing. And we want to dedicate this baby to the Lord as she goes back to what will be her home. This is their family surrounding them, and we're so thankful for them, and you guys are sowing good seed. And I think about you guys, you grandparents, a lot. I do. I think about you because I have grandkids, and I think about how hard it is to have your grandkids overseas and not be able to see them day by day grow up, and my heart breaks for you. But I tell you what, you're sowing good seed in the ground, and I believe God's going to do a great work in you because you were willing to open your hands and release something that was so precious to you. Let's all stretch our hands out toward Hannah Joy and toward these parents. Father, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate Hannah Joy Momady to Jesus. It is from Jesus that she came. It is to Jesus she belongs. And so, Father, we're only giving back what truly belongs to you. We ask you to bless her, minister to her, give her wisdom. Father, help her to adapt to her environment in India. Help her to fall in love with the mission field and the people of India. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help her to grow up at and even at an early age, she'll know the Lord Jesus Christ powerfully in her life. And Father, over these parents, I bless you in Jesus' name. May the grace of God go with you, be all over you. And as you raise other people's children and your own as well, may God do a miracle, Raj, in your life, in Jesus' name. Raj, I hear the Lord saying, not only have I made you a father to children, I've made you a father to fathers, to pastors who feel like they have no father, no one over them, to love them, to protect them, to speak into their lives. And Raj, God's saying, you don't have to know everything. I just want you to love them. Love them with all your heart. Pray for them. Keep your heart large so I can plant them in your heart. And Father, we pray that you would use him to sow, and this woman to sow healing into the lives of the people that they come in contact with in India. Bless the grandparents, the brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would give them peace. And when they do cry missing their children, I pray, Lord, that you would also bring a great joy over them, and you would whisper. Every time they cry, I pray they'll hear a word from God. Every time they cry, I pray they'll hear a word. And God, we give you thanks for all your goodness and your blessings in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Our children have something that they would like to give to Pastor Raj and Colleen. Marty has been working with our children to have a heart for missions, and they took up an offering for Pastor Raj and Colleen, and they want to present that now.
Hey, Pastor Raj, we have a few things for you. Not only do we have an offering, but we also have a DVD that the kids and I made, and as well as some letters to the kids that are at the orphanage and stuff like that. So I will say that the offering I had absolutely nothing to do with. That was not any of my money. That was all the kids, and they raised over $100 by their own money, which is awesome. And so... So we're really excited about this. We have, like I said, we have the DVD, a bunch of the letters, and as well as the offering. So thank you so much. So appreciate you.
Thank you, Marty, for sharing God's heart in relation to what he's doing around the world with the kids. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Tino, good job, man. You're already a leader, Tino. God's called you to be a leader in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody give them a big love. And don't forget, right after the service is over, we're all eating lunch together, and everyone's invited. Somebody said, well, I didn't bring anything. It doesn't matter. You brought an appetite, didn't you? That's why we have tell our people to bring enough for several folks, because we know there will be a few that either forgot or did not know about it. And so right after church today, we are going to be together, eating lunch together as a family, and I can't wait to do that. Well, last week, we began a series called A Fruitful Life. Not a Fruit Loop life, but a fruitful life. And to recap what we talked about last week, let me just share with you a little bit. Jesus spoke of the importance of a life that is vitally connected to him. And he called this vital connection abiding in him. Everyone say abiding in him. And to abide in him literally means that we remain in unbroken fellowship with Jesus. Okay? That we remain in unbroken fellowship with Jesus. And that is evidenced by the Holy Spirit exerting constant influence over us. And that's what it means to abide in the Lord. And Jesus told us that it's impossible to abide in him without keeping his commandments. We've got to keep his commandments. And you know, that word keep is a military term. It means to guard, to protect, and it means to keep intact. So God has called us to guard his word in our heart, to protect it from intrusion, to protect it from compromise, and to keep it intact, to not obey in one area and then disobey in another area, but that we might be living epistles known and read by all men. And it is through prayer-soaked obedience to the Word, prayer-soaked obedience to the Word, that we learn to abide in Christ. And Jesus leads us to a life in which we're become conformed to the image of Christ. How many of you would like to be conformed to the image of Jesus? That's our destiny. For those of you who have given your life to Jesus and you're wondering what your destiny is, that is your destiny. To be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That's what it means to abide in him. And when Jesus comes around and he surveys our life, he's looking for evidence that shows that we are truly abiding in him. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, about what Jesus is looking for. Now, I've got a couple of trees right here inside this door, and I need a couple of quick, or one or two quick guys to run get my trees for me. All right, and bring them out here on the platform. Bring them out here on the platform, right inside there. What does it look like when you're abiding in Christ? What does it look like when you're not abiding in him? We're going to take a look at something this morning. All right. Here they come. Oh, you can even set them right down here in the front, John Paul. Let's bring them right over here. Put one on one side and one on the other. Okay. There you go. One right there. All righty. Thank you, guys. Everybody give them a hand. Thank you, brothers. Now, when you look at these two trees, which of these two, just by looking, would you say is a tree that would be vitally connected to Christ? If it were, you know, if you were looking at it from a spiritual perspective, which one would you say is a tree that's vitally connected to the Lord? The one on the left? What's wrong with this one? Does it look dead? It looks awful. It needs some water. I think it's past water. And so do you. Why do you think that this one looks like it might be vitally connected to the Lord? Is it green and nourished? Well, okay. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. We're going to start reading at verse 12. Mark 11, some of you can't see me anymore. You are blessed. Bill, move them up here behind me. Do you mind doing that? Move them up here. All right, thank you. Mark 11, and we're going to read it. Begin to read at verse 12. Everybody's there but me. Now, the next day when they, and the they here are the disciples and Jesus, came out from Bethany, he, and that he is Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, everybody say having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but what? But leaves. He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Now go down to verse 20. Now in the morning, or the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering what had happened, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So everybody look. Jesus came to the tree looking for something. He didn't go to that tree. He knew this tree would have nothing. This tree is dead. He had no expectation to find anything on this tree. It's dead. It's not producing anything. But Jesus saw evidences of life in the tree that had leaves. So he went to it with an expectation to find something, to find leaves. He's looking a little deeper, wasn't he? Jesus was looking around to see if he could find fruit. Everyone say fruit. Fruit on the tree. What was he expecting to find? Fruit. That's what he was looking for. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says this. Jesus is talking. He said, "You did not choose me." Boy, I think so many of us think that we chose Jesus. Somebody gave an altar call, and we, through all of the mental gymnastics, went through all the options that we have. Well, I can't stay where I'm at. Well, you know, Buddhism's not working. Well, Hinduism's not working. Well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, and we go through all the options, and we come to the place where we feel like we choose Jesus. Well, I guess I'll just choose Jesus. There's really nowhere else for me to go. Jesus said, that's not what happened in the process of me drawing you to myself. He said, "You did not choose me," but what happened there? "I chose you. I chose you. I'm the one that did the choosing. You didn't choose me, I chose you." And he said, "I what?" Okay, everybody that can read, everybody look up. He said what? "I appointed." I appointed. He made an appointment. Not he made a time where he's going to sit down with you, but he made an appointment like an ambassador gets appointed to a position. He said, "I appointed you that you should go and bear what? Fruit. And that your fruit should do what? Remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Boy, we're talking about walking in the supernatural now. Brothers and sisters, we're not decorative trees in God's garden. We're not there just to be admired. We're not there just to look pretty. We're not there even just to be alive, even though all good things start with life. But Jesus appointed us to bear fruit. We're fruit trees. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you're fruity. You're a fruitcake. You're fruit. You're fruity. Now look at your neighbor again. We're going to preach today to each other. Look at your neighbor and say, ask them this question. Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? I'm looking for the fruit. And it's not just me looking for the fruit. Jesus is looking for the fruit. He is looking for fruit in our lives. And I can hear what somebody's saying. Well, no, wait a minute, Pastor Parkey. It wasn't the season for fruit bearing for this fig tree. Jesus went looking at it, expecting to find something, and it wasn't even the season for it. Well, Jesus said that we're to bear fruit that what? Remains. We're a different kind of fruit tree. We're kind of like the ones that you see in the book of Revelation that grow along the river there in our heavenly home. The Bible says they bear their fruit every month. Once every month they're bearing fruit. They don't bear fruit twice a year or once a year. They bear fruit every month. And we're fruit trees, and Jesus has appointed us to bear fruit that remains. And although I do believe that God does some things seasonally in our lives, I know he does. But we're to always be bearing fruit. There's never a time in our lives where we're not bearing fruit. Now, Jesus' disciples understood this command. They understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Look at what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Now look at what the next sentence says. Be ready what? In season and what? Out of season. He said, your season is always ready. That's what Jesus told his brothers when they said, are you not going up to the feast? He said, man, your time is always here and you're ready. You are always bearing fruit. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, the devil's always preaching. He doesn't say, well, it's not my season. You know, it's just not my time. The devil's always at work. And Jesus said, he's preaching his lies. He's preaching lies to people, and people are accepting them. He said, but you, everybody say you is me, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't carry the gift of evangelism. I don't think I do either, but you know what he said? He said, do the work of an evangelist. And now we're going to preach to one another again because I don't want anybody going to sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, fulfill your ministry. I didn't know I had a ministry. Some people, that was a shock to them. I know the guy up there on the stage has a ministry and some of these other guys. I didn't realize I had a ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says that the only reason that our ministry exists is to equip you for the work of the ministry. You are the real ministers of God. Fulfill your ministry. When Jude was talking in Jude in verse 12, and he was talking about people that were in the church that were not doing what they were supposed to do. Here's how he described them. Jude described them this way. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only who? Themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. They are late autumn trees without what? Without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. What did Jesus do to that one fruit tree when he came to it looking for fruit on it and didn't find any? What did he say? He said, you know what? May no one, you don't know what your purpose is. He said, you have forgotten your purpose. And he said, you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to be lenient with you. It's okay. At least you've got life in you. Jesus looked at him and he said, may no one eat fruit from you from now on. And it withered up from the roots. And I don't want him withering me from the roots. Anybody else say that? Man, I don't want to wither up from the roots and die. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I, when he comes to my life, I want him to find what he's looking for. How many of you say, I want him to find what he's looking for when he looks at my life? What does Jesus mean when he tells us to bear fruit? Isn't he just talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's look at what it means to bear fruit in the biblical context. This is what it means to bear fruit in the biblical context. The production of fruit carries within it the understanding that what is produced is useless. Everybody say useless. Unless, everybody say unless, is it is of benefit to others. So, I mean, we can speak in tongues, we can shanda, we can fall down, we can leap six rows without touching the floor. I mean, man, we can laugh, we can bark, we can quack. We can do all those things. And if we're not producing something that's useful to other people, we're not producing the kind of fruit that's biblical. Now, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit for just 1 second. The fruit of the Spirit spoken of in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know what those are? Those are ministry fruits. They're ministry fruits. You know how you see them in operation? You know how you recognize them in operation? Through interaction with other people. You don't need patience until you're dealing with people. You can't see gentleness unless you're dealing with people. You can't see kindness unless you're dealing with people. You can't see agape love unless you're dealing with people. You can't see peace unless you're dealing with a situation in which you have peace that passes understanding. That means I shouldn't have peace in this situation, but I do anyway, because it's coming from God. All of those things are evidenced through our interaction with other people. And they're not just given so we can have a good life. And you know what? The body of Christ is doing a lot of teaching about having a good life. Man, there's books out there about having a good life, the blessed life, the good life, you know, living a good life, living all these kind of lives. And you know what the focus is when we start getting to that place? Where's the focus? It's on self. And that makes us no different from the world. Now, I understand that all fruitfulness begins with life. I don't expect any fruit from that sucker over there. Matter of fact, he'll probably go in the trash after this is all over. I had one of those trees, and somebody dumped it. And I went looking for it, so I had to fix this one up. I had to kill him. I cursed him from the roots. Die in Jesus' name, you ugly tree. No. But we don't expect anything out of that tree. But so many of us are, Pastor Bob, we're just wanting to be a beautiful tree. We just want to be a beautiful tree with beautiful leaves, no sickness on our leaves, an abundant pot to live in, a big pot, a large pot, being able to reach to the sky where everybody can say, look at that one there. Isn't that a big tree? Wow. That's what we're looking to be. And Jesus is not impressed with those kind of things. Now, he understands life. Fruitfulness begins with life. But he's coming looking there. I can't find what I'm looking for. Because you know what? He's not a landscaper. He's a gardener. And he's saying, this tree sure is pretty, but it's not producing what I'm looking for. He said, I don't need it. That's not what I need. Jesus didn't die just so that we could have life. Life in the kingdom of God comes with the expectation that fruit will be present. Fruit. Fruit is produced by interaction with other people. I'll read a couple of scriptures to you and then we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. It says this, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. In other words, the first man, Adam, was alive. He was alive. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He was a fruit-bearing spirit, ready to give away what he had in his own life. And now if you're sitting here saying, oh no, Pastor Parkey, I'm not bearing fruit in my life, and you're talking about me being cursed, I'm afraid. Well, let me give you some encouragement, something that I'm praying for you today. And it's found in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, and then we'll be done. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. If it was dead, would he have come looking for fruit? No. So he said, for 3 years I've been coming looking for fruit on this fig tree and I have found none. Then what did he say? He said, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But the keeper of the vineyard, and this is what I'm praying, the keeper of the vineyard answered and said to him, sir, let it alone just one more year. Let it alone just one more year until I can dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. And that's the cry of my heart. As I'm saying, Lord, could you just leave it alone for one more year? And Lord, let me dig around it. Let me make it uncomfortable. Let's try to get some air to the roots. Lord, if I have to, I'll throw poop on it. If nothing else is working, Lord, and we need to throw, and you need to, I'm going to say a word here, but you need to throw refuse on it. Something that starts with a C and ends with a P. If we need to throw that, if that's got to be done to get it fruitful, if it's got to have some of that in its life, then Lord, please leave it alone until those things can be done. And then hopefully those actions will cause the tree to fulfill its purpose. Now, how many of you say, I really would like not to go through the process, if possible, of God digging all around me and throwing dung and dunging me? How many of you would really like to escape that process? Okay, well then listen to me. Bear fruit. You can do things one of two ways. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. Okay, what's the easy way? To hear and apply it to your life. That's something called wisdom. The hard way is through the school of hard knocks. They both accomplish the same purpose. But I would rather see us do it the easy way. But you know what? I'd rather see it done however way it has to happen. Because I'm sitting up here and I am thinking, Lord, the clock is ticking. We are racing toward eternity. Toward the day that you're going to show up here, all the prophecies really that need to be fulfilled before your return have been fulfilled. the primary one being Israel back in their homeland. And Lord, you're coming. And we're living at this level. When we need to lift our eyes, remember how we talked about in the worship? Lift our eyes and look at things from the heavenly perspective and begin to respond according to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a church. Everybody understand what we're saying? Man, I'm crying out for you and for me. I want to be a part of what God's doing in these last days so bad I can't stand it. And I want, you know what my joy is going to be? When I get to stand in heaven and watch God call you forward and say, well done. Well done, Lorraine. Well done. You exceeded what natural man thought you could do. You produced massive fruit. Come on in and enjoy the kingdom of your Lord. And that's going to be my joy. So, brothers and sisters, a fruitful life. What we have to do is we've got to abide in Him. And if you don't, if you abide in Him, there's no way that you will not bear fruit. All right? You will be challenged. You will be equipped. You will have revelation that will come to you that will show you exactly what you're going to do, and you'll have the power along with it. But we are all in season. This is our season right now. Okay? It's time to go and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And the only way we're going to bear fruit that God's going to be pleased with is as we interact with one another. As I get my hands dirty with this guy, as we go down into areas and people, as we go to our neighbors. You say, where do I start? How many of you have ever talked to your neighbors? Anybody ever knocked on their door and just introduced yourself to them? I'm the invisible person who lives next door. There's one you see with the car's there sometimes and then the car's not there. I just want to introduce myself to you. My name is Parky. I just moved in a new place. I did introduce myself because I live with a lot of older people, and boy, when they see somebody new moving in, especially a man, I'm the only man in that area. And so, boy, they all came over. Who are you? What are you doing here? And I said, I'm Parky. And I said, I'm a pastor. A pastor? Where do you pastor? Pastor at Capstone Church out on the freeway. Really? Would it be okay if I, one lady, first thing, would it be okay if I came? I said, would it be okay? Would it be okay? You know, I mean, let's produce some fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for this day. Lord, I thank you that I'm in a fruit-bearing field here. We're going to bear fruit. Lord, we're not just satisfied with being the tallest tree in the biggest pot with the prettiest leaves. Lord, I want to produce what you're looking for. Father, I want to be as tall as I'm supposed to be. But God, I'd sure rather have fruit hanging all over me when you come looking. Because Father, I want you to be able to look at me someday and say, well done. That's the only thing that really matters. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now take charge over many things. So Lord, in this day, help our Christianity to go from just a mere badge to being reality in our lives. Lord, I'm asking you to upset the apple cart. Lord, if there are people that are not bearing fruit, I'm asking you to dig around them, to dung them, to do whatever you got to do, Lord, to get them to the place that they will not miss the purpose of their life when they stand before you someday. God, I give you praise and glory and honor. I don't want anyone to realize that they missed it when they stand before you. They missed the purpose of why they lived. Father, I just pray you'll do it in us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You know, you say, Pastor, you sure are hitting this a lot. Listen, the closer I think we are to the end times, and I think we're close, this reality is just flowing all over me. I can't stand it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, God. I'm not scared so much. It's just like, God, we got to get busy. We don't have time to be sitting around thinking, now, what kind of car am I going to buy? You know, and then thinking, you know, someday, it's like Rhonda said, someday when my business gets taken off, someday when this happens, someday when that happens, someday when that happens, someday. Tomorrow, it never comes. That's why you have to start in what? Today. Today, in the now. And so, I know God's got great things for us as a people. Man. But we got to come above just living for life and get to the place where we're living to bear fruit. And fruit that remains. Hallelujah. Well, it's been so good to see all of you today.